that I need to bring out into the light and heal. Because it's not just by chance, it's there. The gift. And then each person helps us all make a leap in consciousness. And you know, in unity, we talk so much and we're focused so much, as we should be, on the individual in our own spiritual growth, expressing the Christ that we are. But I believe the more enlightened we become, we realize it's not just about us, that we are all one, that we are all involved in this community. And often, the more enlightened we are, the more service we give. Look at Jesus Christ, certainly a life of love and service and showing compassion and mercy. To give the gift. Back in the 1950s, there was a man named Lyle Watson who had research, and I'm trying to remember the name of his book, on the 100th monkey, the phenomenon of the 100th monkey. Anyone know the title of that book? Ebb Tide, whatever it is. But the phenomenon of the 100th monkey is this. He said that there comes, after a while, a critical mass and a leap in consciousness if we are doing the same thing over and over and over, holding that same thought. On an island, there were a lot of monkeys. And this monkey figured out, if I recall the story correctly, or was taught, that they could wash the potatoes before they ate them, made them better and tastier. So this monkey figured out how to wash the potato. Well, and then he taught another monkey how to wash the potato, and then another monkey, and pretty soon all the monkeys on this island were washing their potatoes before they ate them. And lo and behold, when the 100th monkey on the island figured that out, monkeys on other islands were doing that as well. It's like a leap in consciousness, even though they had never seen these monkeys on this island. And that happens with us as a community, I believe, as we grow and hold that high watch, hold that higher consciousness, that it helps us all take that leap in consciousness. And then it gives us an opportunity to see more of God. If we believe that every person in this world is God in expression, there's so many sizes, so many colors, so many textures, that we would want to embrace as much of God's world as we could, to see as much of God as we could. When I first got out of seminary, I went to a church in New Jersey. And during my interview time, one of the things that we did was we all went out to dinner. And the board is talking to you and trying to find out who you really are, giving you a little wine so they can really find out who you really are. So, you know, we were having a nice conversation. I was answering questions. And then, all of a sudden, the board president, this beautiful woman named Vanessa, who to this day is a best friend now, a good, good friend, she looked at me and said, "Help me understand something. This church here in Teaneck, New Jersey, is 75% African American, 20% Latino, and 5% everyone else. Why is it that a white Midwestern woman would want to come up here? What is there about that?" And I was really taken aback by that question, because I knew when I'd applied for that church that it was calling my heart, but hadn't really wrapped words around why that was. So I thought for a moment, asked God to give me, you know, an understanding of that. And then I said, "Well, because I can see more of God this way, you know, it's opened my world up to different races and different cultures, and I see God in more colors now." more languages. And she said, well, that's the right answer. You have the job. Now, I was grateful that I'd answered correctly, but I didn't answer it to get the job. I answered it because it's really what I felt. And truly, over those next 3 years I was there was one of the greatest blessings of my ministry, because I saw a greater picture of God than I could ever have imagined. So for all of us, it's so easy to get caught up in our own little world with just our own little folks where it's comfortable. But how much of God we're missing by doing that? To see all those other expressions of God that are out there. It gives us an opportunity to behold the Christ in each and every person. There's a story. Community and Peace is the name of the book by Peck, who wrote The Road Less Traveled. And he has a chapter entitled The Rabbi's Gift. It's a wonderful story of a seminary out in the middle of the country, in the mountains, actually. And for many years, it had flourished. People came from the community and other communities to visit the monks there and to sit there during service, to buy the food. And then all of a sudden, it started falling off. And pretty soon, no one was coming. And even the order was falling, because no one wanted to be a monk anymore. I mean, who wants to be a monk living in the mountains when you could be having fun in town? So no one was coming. And there was, in that area where they were, a little hut, a hermitage in the woods. And every few months, the rabbi from town would come there for a retreat. And the monks, after a while being alone, got so psychic they could tell when he was there. And they would say, oh, the rabbi's in the woods. They would know he was there. So one day, the abbot, the top monk, decided that he would go to the hut and have a conversation with the rabbi, that maybe the rabbi could help them figure out a way to start growing this monastery. So the abbot and the rabbi had a long conversation. And the rabbi said, I'm sorry, I really can't help you because I have the same problem you do. No one comes to synagogue anymore either. You know, I don't know. I can't help you. And so before they parted, the abbot said, is there just one thing you could tell me to help us? Just one. And the rabbi looked at him and said, well, I will tell you this one thing. The Messiah lives among you. Then they parted. Well, the abbot went back to the monastery and he shared that story. And over the next weeks, all the monks are going, who's the Messiah? Could it be Philip? Could it be John? Could it be, oh God, could it be me? And then after a while, they began to treat themselves, each other, with such respect and love and kindness that it changed their world. And then you know how that is. Once we do that, even if we don't verbally say so, the news gets out and people in the community started picnicking at the monastery and coming to visit. And they too were treating each other with this beautiful respect, because one of us could be the Messiah. Who is it? The order grew and flourished just because everyone was treating everyone else like they were the Messiah. And of course, in unity, we teach that, don't we? We're each of us that Messiah, that Christ. So to me, that's a beautiful story on how community can help our life change when we are beholding and seeing that Christ in each and every person, including ourselves. So community, why do we need community? We need community because we're all connected. We need community to bring our special gift to the whole. We need community to help us mirror what's inside of us, to teach others, to bless others, to learn from others, to be blessed by others. We need community to see more of God everywhere and to behold the Christ that lives and moves and has its being in each and every one of us. And so it is. And now we affirm together. Okay.